are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yep, you would be.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
And they said you were a fool to dream.
Really?
Yes.
You know what I was dreaming about?
What were you? Is this something you can share?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
Because I know the last one that I was in, I don't think you could share it. That's a whole other story. Did we talk about that on the air?
No, we did not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
No, we did not. And we're starting off with those kinds of
little
things.
A little racy.
Right?
Yeah. A little racy.
Oh, my goodness.
I've had some ginseng.
Good Lord.
I am kidding.
I was walking from my parking space.
You were not, you lazy bastard.
No, I was.
Yes, you were.
You were. I was, and you know, right across the street from our studio, of course, is the very famous Notre Dame High School.
Yes.
It's been here. It's a landmark.
Home of the Humpbacks, I believe.
Yes.
Sorry.
The Humpbacks.
Sorry.
What is it?
Hunchback of Notre Dame is a terrible
joke,
Michael.
Oh, I see.
It's just terrible.
I'm Catholic.
Please, you've got to give me a little more than
there
that.
There you go.
Okay, sorry.
No,
we're by Notre Dame High School. Yes.
The kids, you know, were getting out of school.
Yes.
And when I was in school, high school, Catholic, because I am Catholic, high school,
mm-hmm.
I remember wearing uniforms,
mm-hmm.
you know, the corded pants and the little shirts, the white shirts, and mm-hmm. it was all very proper and sensible, and, you know, the whole idea was to identify that you were in a high school, you know, first of all, and that particular high school, and more importantly, for the parents and the family to cut down on the cost of buying the clothes
sure.
for the children.
Sure.
But, of course, it's not that way anymore, is it?
No, it's not.
Because I was just watching this group of kids, all on their cell phones,
oh my gosh.
All with their stuff, and the girls with... Yeah, with pants that were just almost as high as their waist.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
the bottom of their pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And,
well, Michael, you're not the best person to judge that.
I'll tell you why. I'm not a prudish.
No, you're not prudish, but I've seen pictures of you at 5 and you have a smoking jacket on. So you were just, you know, you're so cruel. You're just so. I mean, you're at 5 years old. You just looked like Noel Coward. You know?
Ladies, no. You've got the whole group against me.
I know. I'm sorry, but
it just took me back to a time when I thought things were different, and you know,
well, they were.
The cell phones and the goofy talking and I don't know.
No.
Am I crazy?
What happened to the decency?
Exactly.
Well, you're young. I mean, you're probably.
Let's tell them who we're talking to. But for we didn't get. We'll introduce them shortly. But first, before we do that, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listening sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Mike Napoli and Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. I talked to Mike this morning.
Napoli's a paisan.
He's in New York seeing all the best Broadway shows.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
He's a beautiful guy.
Yes, he is.
I love him.
Ask him
if he took care of that thing for me.
I will.
Okay,
I will.
Two guests with us today. First, We Will Rock You is a rock theatrical built around 24 of Queen's biggest hits. The songs are delivered in a show that boasts the scale and electrifying spectacle that marked the band's legendary live performances, and anyone who's seen Live Aid, the first Live Aid, knows
that
Queen just burned it down.
Yes.
We Will Rock You will launch a national tour in Baltimore, Maryland at the France Merrick Performing Arts Center in October of 2013. Here to talk about her role as the sassy rock chick Scaramouche, please welcome Ruby Lewis.
Hey there.
Hello, Ruby.
How are you?
Well, I'm just thrilled to be here.
I'm glad. Couldn't be happier. We're very excited to have you. We're very excited to have you. We'll talk with you shortly.
And
we have a lot of Scaramouche questions.
That's
actually.
Right. It's kind of a very French song.
Scaramouche? Scaramouche. Yeah. Do you do the fandango?
I don't.
No, that's from the song.
I could. Poor fee.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those days. And also with us, she is not only a multi-award-winning musical theater star, but the granddaughter of MGM movie musical film legend Catherine Grayson, soon to be starring in Steel Magnolias at the Little Fish Theater in San Pedro, California. Please welcome a great friend of State of the Arts, Kristen Towers-Rolls.
Kristen.
Hello.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi, I'm so good. I'm so glad to be back here.
Good to have you back.
Nice to
always
have
love
you
having
back.
You.
Thank you.
Always great
so
to
lovely
have her on the show. And what was the show that I saw you in recently that I loved so much? With
And the World Goes Round.
And the World Goes Round. Yeah. Loved that show.
Yeah.
Loved it.
It
me too.
Good.
We all
yes
did.
And that extended and everything.
Yes,
well,
it. No, it,
well,
it didn't
no
get extended.
Oh, it was going to, but then
something
it
nice is happening with it, and I'm not at liberty to divulge this.
Okay.
So I kind of know what you're talking about.
All right, yeah, so but we can't talk about it. There contractual obligations.
There you go.
Okay. Michael, how was your, even though you, I know how your day was, how was your week?
It
how
was super busy. Yeah, you know, same old stuff. The nightclub, the supper club, it's fantastic. Signing a lot of wonderful talent. Jeremiah James, do you know Jeremiah?
I don't.
Do you know Jeremiah
yes
James?
Yes, I know who he is.
Fantastic,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Coming to headline the club, and it's just finished co-starring in a big world premiere in Denver, and he lives in New York and Los Angeles. He's all around, so he's going to be with us in September, and several other great stars have come on. So we have the whole rest of the year is now booked up.
Oh, that's great. Right.
Yeah. Have you been to my club?
No, I haven't. Yeah? I've only heard wonderful things, though.
You have?
Yes.
That's good. Kristen has headlined there.
Okay. Twice.
Yes, she
yes
has, with her lovely, beautiful show. Yeah, that she brings.
Oh, you're yeah
doing
very
around
own
the country.
Show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah,
thank you. Wow. I'm doing it again soon.
Yes, yes, I know. I saw
very
that
excited.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for asking.
So you had
what about you?
I was snaking toilets, thank you very much. Yes.
So sorry.
Yeah, so you have all this, your red carpet, you're all this.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm up to my shoulders in snaking
oh
toilets.
Oh,
yes.
My.
No, no, I'm not actually.
That's why you don't want to be the head of the HOA, right?
That's it. I'm on the Homeowners Association board for my condo, and let's just say it's a volunteer position, and I am building up karma points like you read about.
Mm-hmm. Well, we all need those.
Yes, we do.
We all
do
need those.
But it's hardly a great topic to begin our show with, so I'm not even going to go into too much detail. I think we should jump right into chatting with
let's
the lovely
that
ladies that we have here today.
Let's do
would
that.
Would you do me a favor, Michael, and give Ruby the intro she is so due?
I will, indeed. On to our first guest. She recently booked a recurring role on Showtime's Master of Sex, which I'd like to talk about.
Masters? Mm-hmm. Masters or
Masters?
Masters.
Masters
of sex.
Yes. Could she possibly be one of them? I don't know. We'll get into that. She can be seen on Heart of Dixie, another mm-hmm favorite show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That southern charm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Rules of Engagement, sold-out performances of For the Record, John Hughes, and For the Record, Scorsese. And those, I believe, are take place at Rockwell Table and Stage. Am I correct?
Yes, they do.
All right. Mm-hmm. And most recently, Dora Lee in the stage show of 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And my friend, Vinny Carranza, my good buddy, says
oh
to say hello to you today.
My gosh. He's yeah a doll
he's
baby.
He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He is. Just got through doing a chorus line.
Yep.
She is well known for her stage work both in New York and national tours and has played the lead role of Elle Woods in Legally Blonde and Sandy in Greece. She has also recurred on the ABC hit show Desperate Housewives and also wrapped up the national tour of Jersey Boys. Could she be any more busy? As we mentioned earlier, starting soon, Ruby will be playing the lead of Scaramouche in the national tour. Scaramouche. Sorry.
Imagine a frightened moosh.
Okay, got it.
Scaramouche.
Oh, yes. Okay. Scaramouche in the national tour of We Will Rock You. Ruby Lewis is here.
Hey. That was really nice.
You are welcome. Really nice to see you.
Thank you.
You girls clean up so beautifully.
I
so
tell you, yeah. I tell collectively, I don't
right
think we've had a prettier show
no
in a long time.
No, really. Mm. Of course, that's including
all well, of it's
yes
mostly about you,
yeah
actually, Michael.
Yes, I do. Ruby, I got a question for you. Before we talk about you, I want to talk about where you're from. You said you're from Kentucky.
Oh, okay. I am. I'm from
and
Shelbyville, Kentucky.
You're from Shelbyville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know this, but I happen to be a bourbon aficionado.
Oh,
and a lot of people
really
also don't know that you can't call it bourbon unless it's made in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a limestone shelf in Kentucky that fortifies the water, and that's why bourbon has the distinct taste that it
does. I did not know that.
So before we went on the air, I asked Ruby what her favorite bourbon was, and you said you're in a Woodford Reserve
phase
now?
I go through
phase
phases.
Now.
Right now I'm enjoying Woodford Reserve.
Okay. All right.
Yes. I, you know, at Costco you can get pretty large bottles, and so
yes
then it takes a while to get through it, so I go through phases depending on what's on sale at Costco.
It's funny because it reminds me of my friend was it's that unfortunate situation, but he was getting divorced and I asked him how he was doing and the only thing he said back to me, he said, well, my bourbon bottle has a handle. I just love that.
Oh.
All right, there you go.
Oh.
But we At the end of the show, if we have some time, I'm going to share my other bourbon story about meeting the descendant of Jim Beam, but we'll talk about that.
You don't drink alone, of course.
That's
just your choice of liquor.
I'm usually red wine with dinner,
looks like.
But if you're from Kentucky, it's sort of.
Well,
like,
I would imagine. You know, yeah.
It's in my blood. I love it. I've loved it for as long as I can remember.
I prefer it so much over Scotch. It has such a better taste, and it's pure Americana too.
It has a better taste? My father was a Scotch drinker, so he always said if you don't want to get a hangover or a headache the next
stay
morning,
stay drunk.
always drink Scotch because it won't do that.
No, and it's very, and bourbon as well. They're very clean liquors as opposed to gin, which is a very dirty liquor. There's a lot of toxins, and gin is not nearly as clean. But I only know this because I did all these trade shows for Jim Beam, so I know that. But I don't want to talk bourbon all day.
No.
I'm very excited about your show, and I'll tell you why. Because one of the first albums that I bought with my own money when I was a mere pup.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, as I'm only 29 now, but was News of the World, which was the album, the Queen album that had We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions and just about everything on it. And that music has always meant a great deal to me. And I'm thinking about rock music, there's certain anthemic artists. Like I remember when Meatloaf's album came out, Bat Out of Hell came out in the late 70s. You could see how that anthemic theatrical music would go, it would just work in a show so beautifully. It astounds me that it's taken this long for a totally dedicated Queen show Queen and Ben Elton is the other person. Was this something that you knew about? Did they just approach you? Did you just go and audition for it? How did your relationship with it start?
When it was in Vegas, I think I was just out of high school when it was in Vegas, so I heard about it being a musical theater nerd. But but then I didn't hear about it for a long time, and it was just very recently, a couple of months ago, when I heard that they were holding auditions. And I grew up with Queen. In our house, we had the Greatest Hits album playing pretty much every day. Huh. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna. And so they came to LA to audition. Doesn't always happen. And that was it. I mean, I put my heart and soul into it. And when I do that, generally it works out in my favor, and it did. So.
So now, was it a? Is there? And I'm always curious about this. I know nothing about the show, but Michael and I talk about this quite often. There are sort of review-type shows, and there are shows that have a definite narrative. Mm-hmm. Is there a definite tale being told here?
Yeah, this one's really interesting. The book, Ben Elton wrote the book, and he writes a lot for British sitcoms and is just hysterical. And it takes you into the future, and it's a comment on conformity, and it follows, it's kind of across the universe in a way that it follows the two bohemian artists as they're trying to escape conformity, and it's really interesting. I think it's going to do well. It definitely did well on the West End.
Oh, really?
So,
And in Vegas, Vinny Carranza actually was
in that company.
A year and a half or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Right?
It did well in Vegas, too, so...
Well, and these shows, kind of like Rock of Ages, which is they're successfully now playing. Not that it's, I'm not comparing it to your show, but it is music of our lives, and that seems to resonate with audiences, I saw last night, and we'll be talking about later.
And the other thing, too, is that Queen, like you mentioned, I mean, you're significantly younger than I am, but you said that you also grew up with it as I grew up with it. And I think just Queen is much like the Beatles in that regard, is that it crosses generations, that good music is good music. And also Freddie Mercury, as far as I'm concerned, is the great front man of the ages. I mean, you can talk about Jagger and you can talk about Steve Tyler and you can talk about all these people, but Freddie Mercury just held an audience in the palm of his hand when he performed. He was just completely... Mm-hmm. There's a fantastic opera called Barcelona that Freddie Mercury wrote, and I'm going to get the soprano's name wrong, but I want to say Montserrat Caballé. She's a Spanish soprano.
Yes, I know who you mean.
And she was born and raised in Barcelona, and Freddie Mercury loved her so much that he wrote a little operetta in her honor. And it's an album. There's only about 8 songs to it. But I would put it up there with any Queen album. It's that good.
Wow.
So Run, Don't Walk, the album. It's called Barcelona. They, on YouTube, you can watch the opening of the Barcelona Olympics where they both came out. Montserrat.
I think it's Montserrat.
Montserrat. Yeah. And Freddie Mercury came out and he sang it in English and she sang it in Spanish. Mm. And it is weep-inducingly good.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Very, very good. Very, very good. So that's my commercial for Freddie Mercury.
Very nice.
What is a Scaramouche?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes.
You know, I was doing some research, and Scaramouche is like dates way back to Commedia dell'arte.
Yeah.
And like a jester type of
I thought
character.
It was like a Commedia character, like Arlecchino.
Yeah, it was a male character.
Okay.
Yeah, like a dell'arte. And so I think that I'm guessing when they were writing Bohemian Rhapsody that that was influenced by that. And this, in We Will Rock You, you know, she's a female kind of gothic girl, and at the end of the show she becomes the reincarnation of Brian May and she wails on the electric guitar.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if Brian May related to her or related to that character or what. I mean, I met him and he is very he's kind of jester like so maybe he did. I don't know.
I walked directly into Brian May, just just plowed right into him crossing Larchmont, you know, Larchmont Boulevard over in Hancock Park area, and he just was very, very nice, but I just was looking down and plowed right into him, and I went, oh, excuse me. I said, no problem. And then he just went past, and you can't miss that hair, so
no,
I was just like,
just the same.
That's Brian May, one of the greatest rock guitarists of all time.
Now, do your character plays the guitar, is that what you said at the end? And do you know how to play the guitar?
I'm learning now for a show at Rockwell. I doubt I'm going to be able to, you know, wail and rip, you know, rip away on the guitar by the time I need to. So I'm hoping that it's just appearing to be able to do so. I mean, I would accept the challenge, but I've seen some video of that, the end of the show, and she just really wails on it. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can already tell this is a show that I would dig.
Yeah.
Yeah. When does it come? When does it come locally here? Do you know?
Yeah, it plays the Amundsen for 6 weeks next summer. Ooh. I want to say comes like mid-July.
Oh, wow.
Or something
how
like
cool
that.
Would that be to come home and...
I know. Ride? I'm really excited about that.
Oh, that's next summer. Oh, that's right. Because these theaters have to, in order to get into their subscription brochures and all that, always has to be like a year out.
Or more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something, though, too, with regard to your experience in musical theater, and you did Elle on Broadway.
No, I didn't do Elle on Broadway.
The national
I did
tour?
One of the first regional productions.
Oh, regional productions. Mm-hmm. But that's a tough role.
Yes, it was.
It's a tough role to sing, and you're pretty much on stage through almost the whole thing.
You are, yeah. And I generally, you know, I'll do a little warm-up here and there, but I generally just go out and do my thing and don't have to worry too much.
Yeah.
And for that show, I had to really...
Well, the lyrics alone and the pace of that music.
Yeah.
I
can't imagine actually touring with that show. Yeah. I only did a 3-week run of it, and by the end I was like, I've got it. I'm cashing in my chips on this one.
Oh,
it was
so
tough.
That taxing, huh?
Oh, yeah. By the end, it was just like, I simply cannot do another show. So... A bit mad props to those girls who did it day in and day out.
So, by comparison to what you're getting ready to do?
I have a feeling this one is going to be pretty taxing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to really behave myself, you know.
Less bourbon, perhaps?
Maybe less bourbon. Although, a hot toddy here and there might help, not hinder.
Oh, yeah, no. Great for the cords.
You know, I can always justify it.
Yeah. That's what my grandmother used to give us, hot toddies.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, she used to give us 3 and 4 at a time.
Really?
To get us to sleep.
To get you to sleep.
Well, not. I mean, they were very small.
Hot toddies. My mother was a traditionalist.
I'm not sure.
Just the rubber mallet. That was her. For more information, and we're certainly not done, but I want to get this information out here while we can. WeWillRockYou.com. I don't know what they paid for that URL, but I would love to know what they did.
Mm-hmm.
WeWillRockYou.com is where all the information about the show is. It does not go on the tour until October of this year.
Yeah.
This tour does not start. I really sound like I know. It did not go on tour October. Good month. He's with me today. But October of 2013 is the beginning of the tour.
When do you start rehearsal?
We start the beginning of September in New York.
Boy, that's not too much rehearsal.
Not really, no.
Beginning 6 weeks? September in New York, though. That's good.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah.
Perfect time to be in New York.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Do you get back home often?
Couple times a year, usually. Yeah, holidays. And I may pop home before the tour starts.
Still a lot of family there?
Everyone's there.
And
I like to go in the summertime. I grew up on the lake, and I'm really into water sports and fishing. And you know, cookouts, all that good Kentucky stuff. So I'm hoping I can get back and do that before I hit the road again.
Oh, do you have a boyfriend back there?
No.
You have a boyfriend here?
No.
Would you like a boyfriend?
You read her resume, her agenda. She doesn't have time for that stuff.
It doesn't mean that she couldn't have one on the side somewhere.
On the side. Don't make it sound so sleazy, Michael.
What,
on the
Masters
side.
Masters of Sex is on her resume.
No, I have very special, important people in my life, and I like to pay them as much attention as I can, so... Yeah,
and that's that.
And that's that.
What did you do on Desperate Housewives? A great friend of mine is on Desperate Housewives,
really?
Or was on Desperate Housewives, and I've worked with him a great deal afterwards. His name is James Denton. He played Mike the Plumber on that. And Jamie and I did shows together in Chicago, and then Jamie had a group called Banned from TV, which is a bunch of actors who do who are also musicians. Greg Grunberg from... I know it wasn't Lost, but I forget what show he was on. But Hugh Laurie and a number of other people. Mm-hmm. And they would do charitable events playing music, and I used to warm up for them. I used to do stand-up before the shows. But what did you do on Desperate Housewives?
I've worked with Felicity Huffman. I played a yoga booty ballet instructor.
I saw that clip.
She thought that her... She thought Tom was seeing me, so she kind of started stalking me. And came. She
funny.
And Vanessa Williams came to my class, and... I worked him out, and then she kind of confronted me after class, and it was, you know, it was great to work with Felicity Huffman. It was scary.
Oh, yeah. She, great actress.
Yeah, oh. I was just, whew, it was, I was terrified, but I got some really good stuff for my reel, and...
Yes, you did. Right. What about Heart of Dixie?
Fun.
What did you do in that?
Oh, I just, you know, sexually took a bite out of a strawberry, and...
There we go. There we go.
That's
again.
About it. But Masters of Sex, I'm really excited for that.
Yes.
That airs
Explain,
in September.
Please.
So it's on Showtime. It's not what you think. Dr. Masters and Johnson were revolutionary sex. Not therapists.
Addicts.
But
Paul remembers them
well. No. Yeah, the Masters and Johnson, research from the 50s.
From the 50s. Yes. Well,
is so. Huge.
So that's what it's about. And Michael Sheen and Lizzie Kaplan play Masters and Johnson, and they are awesome. And so I just have a couple of nice scenes with one of the very attractive men on the show. And
which one would that be?
Nick DeGusto. Mm-hmm. He was on Heroes, I believe.
Nick DeGusto.
Oh, man,
that's,
look him up. He's
that's
a doll
the show.
Baby.
That's the one I couldn't think of with Greg Grunberg, was Heroes. That's the show that
oh,
he
okay,
was
yes.
on.
Oh, okay, yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, didn't mean to pounce.
No, that's all right.
But when someone...
He's a doll and Midwestern guy, so we got along, and he was so gracious to me, and I had a great time, so...
I think that show is very cool, and I'm happy for its success. I have a friend, Eileen Graff, who is on it, a recurring role playing
on
mom.
Masters of Sex?
No, I'm sorry, on Heart of Dixie.
Which one? You were talking about Masters of Sex,
right? Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. But,
okay.
Oh, yes, and I wasn't.
Okay. No, I was just curious.
Heart of Dixie is doing really well, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm.
But that's where she took the bite of the strawberry. I was still...
You were still,
I was still
on that. You were still
fantasizing.
Yes, yes. I was wondering why you glazed over.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was just looking at you.
Sorry.
You just looked in your eyes and sorry. Looked like someone else was driving.
Yeah.
WeWillRockYou.com is the website for Ruby's show, and we will throw that out there again before the end of the hour.
And don't miss the show at Rockwell, too, that opens tomorrow night. Zemeckis.
The show at Rockwell. Oh, tell us about that.
Yeah, tomorrow night's opening night for the Record Zemeckis. It'll be like the sixth show I've done in the For the Record series, and it opens tomorrow night. It's awesome. Forrest Gump, Death Becomes Her, Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
And it's just like a review of songs that have been used in the films?
In the soundtracks, and it's woven with the scenes, the iconic scenes,
right.
And they just make it, it's just a seamless representation of the director's work in this beautiful dinner theater, like 360 setting. You can eat, you can drink.
Oh, wow.
And we perform all these scenes and songs all around you and really bring you in. It's really cool.
Oh, that
Did you
great.
Do the one
like
that had,
you
based on the movie with Mark Wahlberg and Burt Reynolds?
I did not do that one.
That
was Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I
the
saw
one
it.
That I saw.
No.
Oh, that's
a lot of strawberry scenes in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the end of the show was... A large strawberry.
Yeah, yes. Unusually large strawberry, yes.
That's
engorged
the only one I've
seen. Strawberry.
Engorged strawberry, yes. An entire fruit basket, if you want to go that far.
But I must say, it's a big production. Like she says, it's 360. It's kind of all around you. And there is a stage and a band, I'm assuming.
Oh, beautiful band. Yeah, the band is awesome.
Yeah. There's certain directors, like, I mean, I saw that you, Scorsese in there, too. Is that music is I mean, it's essential for every film, but I mean, Scorsese, just, I mean, Goodfellas and things like that. The soundtrack is as good as the film. Mm-hmm. As far
it's an
as
interesting concept.
Yeah, that's why it works.
In a beautiful neighborhood, I might add.
Oh yeah, it's fun to go hang out in
Vermont Avenue.
You don't know a website by memory, do you? That we could co-author.
Yes, it is www.rockwell-la.com.
Rockwell-la.com.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'd be all over that.
Get some tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. We will.
We're certainly not done with Ruby. Ruby's going to hang out for the rest of the show, and we're going to get the URLs out there again. But Michael, before we chat with lovely Kristen Towers Rolls, you were an active theater goer this week.
I was.
You saw a show. You were at the opening last night, weren't you?
I was. I was on the red carpet doing all the interviews for Broadway World TV, and at one point I had. I don't know how much this is going to mean to these young ladies, but I had, at one point, I had Joanne Worley and Ruta Lee on each arm.
Oh, yeah.
And who are they? I'm sorry.
And, you know, these are two women who still dress to go to the theater.
Yeah.
And last night they were in quite the regalia of the period of Priscilla.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. Oh. They were decked out with... Unbelievable. They were so much fun. And lots of stars were there last night. And it's always fun to do that. But I actually went with a little trepidation about this show because I'd not seen it before. I did see the movie, and that was a while ago. I think that was back in 1994, actually.
Did you see both of them? Did you see the original and then the remake? Because it was an Australian film to begin with, and then they was it Tu Wong Fu?
Yes,
Wong Fu,
Julie Newmar.
Yeah,
Julie Newmar,
that was basically a remake.
I saw only the I did see both of them. Yes, right. I guess I did. But for a musical that is so merry and delightfully gay, I
merry?
Guess.
Merry? Is that it's very merry?
Yes. Let's get one thing straight. The nearly 500 outrageously gorgeous costumes worn by a cast of 23 are reason alone to see Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So a big woo-hoo shout-out goes to Tony Award and Oscar-winning costume designers Tim Chappelle and Lizzie Gardner for starters. Then there's Brian Thompson's glorious bedazzled production design adorned by a life-size functional bus, Paul.
Life-size functional bus?
Yes,
I thought you said bust.
No, well, that's another another show. spectacular lighting, knockout musical arrangements, and inventive direction and staging. But at the heart of this jukebox musical, based on the movie of the same name, is the story of three drag performing friends, impeccably performed by Wade McCollum, Scott Willis, and Brian West. And I emphasize the word impeccably. As they make their way across the Australian outback in a bus named Priscilla, a pink bus named Priscilla, not only to find themselves and have some fun along the way, but have the courage to let one's inner razzle-dazzle brighten their otherwise very vacant lives. Standard and pop hits such as A Fine Romance, It's Raining Men, What's Love Got to Do With It, I Will Survive, Shake Your Groove Thing, and Hot Stuff deliver on all counts, from the soaring orchestra to the stunning vocals by the three leads and the entire company. Looking for a good time, are you? Then hold on to your pearls, boys and girls, because it's happening on stage at the breathtaking Pantages Theater in Hollywood now through June 16th. Tickets are available at hollywoodpantages.com or ticketmaster.com or by calling 1-800-982-2787, as well as at the Pantages box office located at 6233 Hollywood Boulevard and all Ticketmaster outlets. Go see it.
It's one of those things that, you know, this is one of those the premise of this musical is sort of, I would love to have been there when they sort of pitched it. It's like, okay, it's three drag queens and they're driving across the Australian outback. It sounds like the setup of a joke.
It's very, you know,
it really
story,
does.
The story is very dear.
Yeah.
Though.
Oh,
mean,
no.
It really is very dear and very, very precious, and it's sad and it's happy
and
it's
all of those. And things. I remember the visuals. I just the visuals of when they're in those scenes where he's on top of the bus and they're just driving through the desert
and
the train or the headdress that they have.
That's
going,
replicated
just,
here.
Oh yeah,
on stage
it's so iconic. I can't imagine that they wouldn't.
And there are angels, disco angels that come flying out of the you know.
So it's like a Pinter play, basically.
Yeah.
You say. Very subtle. Stark. Yeah, exactly.
No,
I hope to see it. I hope to see it. My sister is going to be here next week.
Yes.
This is right up her
yes.
alley. And we're hoping that we get into
about
see
a 2-minute standing ovation, 2 to 3 minute standing ovation
really?
At the end of the show. I mean, the audience would not leave.
That's
it was
that's
just,
wonderful.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Have you both seen the films?
Yes.
Have you seen both films?
I haven't seen the film, no.
Oh, either one?
No.
The Two Wong Fu Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Yes.
Newmar. That is the American remake of the Australian
one.
Oh,
okay.
And it's in the American one, it's Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes and John Leguizamo.
Yes.
That's right.
Two Wong Fu.
Yeah.
Do you know I worked with Julie Newmar?
Did you?
Yes, when I was an actor.
She has a cameo at the end of Two Wong Fu Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. She looks damn good.
Yes, she's always looked good. She still looks good.
Yeah. Oh, she was the greatest Catwoman ever.
Guess who I met last night at the this was the, I mean, she's not a known celebrity, but for me it was a thrill. And there's a very famous casting director by the name of Marvin Page.
Yes, mm-hmm. Marvin Page, good friend of my grandmother's.
Yes, I'm sure. And a lovely man he is. And he always has a beautiful woman on his hand, on his arm.
tiny little woman.
And
but
he said, and this is so-and-so, and I'm so sorry that I have forgotten her name. And he said she played Gretel in The Sound of Music, the movie.
Oh.
And she's all grown up and beautiful. And I was flushed because I thought, you know,
a little bit of film history.
Act like that.
Yeah, it's good thing you act like that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it would have been off-putting.
Yeah.
And before we... wonder why you don't do a lot of red carpet events. This is Joanne Worley.
I just have one other thing to add, and it's something that our friends at the Pasadena Playhouse have offered to us today. Ladies and gentlemen, the opening, the world premiere of Sleepless in Seattle, the musical.
Oh,
is opening this coming Sunday at the Pasadena Playhouse, and they are ask us to give away a pair of tickets to our listeners. So all you have to do is write us at
stateoftheartsla@gmail.com, and let's make it interesting. Let's have the seventh email that we receive.
Right,
will be the winner. Seven for Sleepless. I couldn't.
And
really
tell
think
us why it is that you need to see this show.
Okay.
All right.
stateoftheartsla@gmail.com.
Yeah.
There you go. And two seats?
Two seats, one pair of tickets.
Like dinner for six?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, dinner for six.
It's like I want to pull out my smartphone.
I know.
Do it now.
Secretly send an email under the table.
Wait a minute. This name looks familiar. All right. The name of her critically acclaimed one-woman show is A Lovely Lineage, which delightfully focuses on her show business family, which includes her grandmother, MGM legend Catherine Grayson, and star of such film musicals as Anchors Away, Showboat, and Kiss Me, Kate. In her own right, our guest has become one of Los Angeles' busiest leading ladies, starring in such recent musicals as Little Women and The World Goes Round, which we mentioned earlier, which was a phenomenal show. Jacques Brel is alive and living in Paris, Victor Victoria, and is currently in rehearsal for Robert Harling's Steel Magnolias opening in June at the Little Fish Theater in San Pedro, California. Please welcome the lovely, the award-winning, ever tireless Miss Kristen Towers Rawls.
Hello.
How are you?
Yes.
I was a little slow on the uptake with the applause button.
Yeah.
So we're
going
to give you
forgive you this time.
There you go. So how are you?
I am really good.
It's really good to see you.
Busy and good. Thank you.
You're always busy. You're a mom to three beautiful girls.
I am a mom.
Which is difficult at 18, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And she's one of the greatest husbands in the world, who is also as talented as she.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you.
And so supportive of your career,
yes.
I might add.
And now we're starting to merge our careers together, which is really nice.
Yeah.
We just produced our first show together, which was awesome.
Little Women.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
We did it at Stage 52 LA on Washington Boulevard, which is a beautiful 99-seat theater that no one knew about. And when they came, they were like, what is this space? It's amazing. And we
Stage 52.
Stage 52.
Okay, good to know.
And we raised money and awareness for a charity called Forever Found that helps to rescue underage girls out of sexual slavery in the United States. And so we used
How did you come about choosing that?
Better Call.
I mean, I know it was in synergy, perhaps, you know, with what
well,
you're doing.
Well, I had been asked to be a part of a benefit performance. My children go to a musical theater after school program in South Bay called Haven Academy of the Arts. So I had been asked to come in and be an equity guest artist when they had done it the first time. After we did it, we only did four performances. People were floored. Number one, the material is amazing, but also that we were raising money, and for the cause that we were raising it for. So I met with them and I said, you know, I have an idea. I want to start a theater company in LA that every show we do, we partner with a cause. And so we decided to do Little Women again, and we found Forever Found. It was a perfect marriage, and we were able to raise a good amount of money for them and That's do great. An amazing show with a beautiful message about women and empowerment. And
now, was it a regular run? Was it a one-nighter?
It was. We did a three-week run this time of it.
3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And my theater company is called Sustaining Sound Theater Company. And it's got kind of a play on words, sustaining sound. Of course, if you're an actor, you're sustaining sound, but also keeping safe and sound. And every show that we do from now on, we will be partnering with a different organization to raise awareness and funds for them.
See, that's so great. Because we so often try to do these fundraisers for people, and so much of the time when you nail it down to one night, it's very difficult
right.
for everyone to get all their schedules and ducks in a row for that one night. But to do it for 3 weeks is just would, I mean, not only be benefit them more, but also give them an opportunity to bring more people
sure.
to it.
Yeah, it was really yeah. awesome. And we got such incredible talent. When they found out what we were doing it for, people just threw themselves into the project. We had Gail Mathias play Marmee, who was a cast member on SNL in the 80s, who's incredible and just a wonderful. And I found when actors are doing things for something other than just acting, not that there's anything wrong with that, mm-hmm. but when you've got a higher purpose, it's amazing how they throw themselves into a project.
Oh, yes. No, I think, and also there's the what you can sense from the audience that's at performances
oh, yeah.
that are benefited. It's just more of a sense of event and ceremony. And
yeah.
Just, oh, that's
when Beth died, man, you could hear him. You could hear the sobs.
Oh, yeah.
in the audience. Yeah. yeah. And backstage. There wasn't a performance where everyone just wasn't so present. It was amazing. So, and now I'm in another amazing show
yeah,
about women.
And you're, no, would it be wrong for me to call, because you used the term earlier, would it be wrong to call you a musical theater nerd too?
Oh, I mean, gosh.
Okay.
Oh. No. I slept with a picture of Stephen Sondheim above my bed.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else had like, you
okay.
know,
okay, well, we're out of time.
nerd with a capital N.
Pretty much, yes. I mean, coming from my family, both my grandparents were on Broadway right. and, you know, musicals and music. So it's just, yeah.
I only bring that up because Steel Magnolias is not a musical.
Yes.
And I want to say, do you feel an absence of one yet?
Huh?
I have said the same thing. Reading through the script, I'm like, why isn't someone made this into a musical? It'd be fantastic. No. You know, I'm an actor first. Even though I do musical theater, I consider myself an actor first and foremost. And I love going back to being able to do straight plays where you can just like dive into meaty dialogue, because mm-hmm. really that's the essence of anything that we do. Mm-hmm. And so, my friend Stephanie Coltrane Berries is
we love her.
She's the managing director of this theater company, Little Fish Theater, which is a very small theater in San Pedro. It's a 99 seat equity waiver. And I had written her and said, I see you're doing Steel Magnolias. She said, you come in. And so I'm playing Annell, which is the Daryl Hannah role. Which is very
Say.
Fun. She's a trip and a half. She goes through every. Well, there's only four scenes. If you've seen the movie, there's men in it and there's different settings. The play only takes place in the beauty shop, and there's
okay.
six women, and
okay.
all of them are so clearly defined and wonderful. And I am in a.
If I remember, she's a bit of a. If she a little flighty, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, right. she's very young. Her husband has just deserted her. Okay. And then she becomes a born-again Christian. And she's very fervent.
Okay.
Sometimes at the expense of other people's feelings.
little fire and brimstone.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And then she kind of comes back from and realizes like she needed to be more human about what she's going through. And so it's a real challenge, actually. It's a very challenging role, and I'm really enjoying doing it. Wonderful cast. The director is James Rice, who's directed all over Los Angeles, and he's a great guy, so...
Kim alerted me to this. My friend Kim Muller is an artistic director of the theater company that we have, Sea Glass Theater, and she told me about this production. And she
oh, really?
Was actually going to audition, and then
She would have been very.
No, she got
very
yeah,
right
she,
for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. No, she would have been great. She yeah. just had a conflict, so she wasn't able to do it. But whenever I hear you mention the, is it what stage 152?
Stage 52.
Stage 52, mm-hmm. and then this Little Fish is in San Pedro. I always love to find these little gems of theaters that you don't normally. That, you know, a lot of us in L.A. don't really hear about. I mean, 52 is
there. Also another gem down there that Kristen starred at in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, as
I
recall.
And Kiss Me, Kate.
And Kiss Me, Kate. Mm-hmm. And that's the Warner Grand
yes.
Theater, which is literally grand.
It was actually designed at the same time as the Pantages by the same designers. And when
The Heinsbergens.
Feel like you're in the Pantages. It just hasn't had the overhaul because it doesn't have the kind of capital, of course, that the Pantages does. But it is gorgeous. And being able to perform Kiss Me, Kate in that space and play my grandmother's role was really amazing.
You know who's getting ready to do Kiss Me, Kate?
I know. Everyone keeps telling me. It's so funny. Cabrillo is doing Kiss Me, Kate. And I got, the day that they announced they were doing it, I probably got 50 emails.
Okay.
Go! No,
I'm going to write Louis Wilkenfeld.
Well, thank you. He saw me do it, so hopefully he'll see me. Oh. Yeah.
What we're talking about, I want to get this information out here. I don't
Steel
think we
Magnolias.
Have. Steel Magnolias. This is littlefishtheater.org where you go for tickets. This opens June 14th and runs through July 13th. Mm-hmm. And that's Friday, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2. And there's one, looks like there's a Thursday performance at 8, but yeah, they have all this at the website. littlefishtheater.org. Theater is the R-E spelling. And reservations, 310-512-6030. That's 310-512-6030. And the theater is at 777 South Center Street. There's a lot of S's in this. 777 South Center Street San Pedro, California. And we'll throw both of
these. And you know, part of the nice thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, is you can not only just go buy a ticket, inexpensively, I might add, $27, $23, depending on the night that you're seeing it. And seniors, of course, get a discount. But you can also buy tickets and have a dinner theater package. It's naming various restaurants here. Whale and Ale.
Right around the corner.
Off
the Wonderful
Vine.
Food. Yeah.
Whale and Ale.
Whale and Ale.
Oh,
God. Yeah.
And
they also
have
bourbon.
It's not bourbon, but
I love
she'll
places
be there.
Like that
was probably nicer.
Whale
and Ale.
The other thing that's really neat about where we are in San Pedro down there is the USS Iowa is now docked down there, which like on Memorial Day they had this huge thing because it's this huge battleship that's now just sitting there, and it's one of the first times we've had something like that in Los Angeles, and it's right around the corner. So you could go down there, make a day of it, and then go have dinner and see the show.
Come for the whale, stay for the ale.
That's what
you
I
were
would
waiting
do.
The whole
yes,
time.
Yes, I was. I was chewing on that one. Did you see it?
Yes. I did.
She's like, when will she finish talking about this boat so I can drop this little one out there?
So funny.
Come for the whale.
It's
stay
not
for the
as grand as it's the Queen Mary. That's
that's in
close
Long Beach.
By. Yeah, but San Pedro's not very far from Long Beach.
No, it's just across the water from it.
I think people think, that's the other thing, people think it's a lot farther than it actually
no.
is. The great thing about something like this with all these little dining options right around the theater is go early.
Yeah,
get
right.
out if you're in LA, get out of town early, beat the southbound traffic, get to a nice restaurant, plant yourself. Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to deal with the traffic. So you don't go at 5.
Right.
You
exactly.
go a little earlier
go
than
early.
That. Get there
right.
and just, you know.
On the weekend. And
was I too militant about that?
No. No, because I subscribe to, you know, get a hotel the night before.
Well, yeah but Michael,
yeah.
you
Well, and the other thing is, if you're bringing someone with you, the 405, if you're coming from Los Angeles, has a Diamond Lane all the way down.
Carpool Lane.
So that's, I'm doing the show right now. This is my second show I've done there. I did a show called Panache there last year. Another
play. I remember
play.
That.
Yes. And I did that with a friend who lived in L.A., you know, up here in our part of Los Angeles, and we could carpool. But this time around, I'm the only one coming from up here. So there are nights where, of course, I have to leave at a certain time to get to rehearsal, and it's not so fun. So bring someone with you.
Okay, three words. I don't want to, and don't take this wrong, three words. Inflatable sex doll.
That's it. Was it? Yes. Masters of sex.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it. Just put sunglasses and a hat, pop him right in the passenger
really?
Seat.
Really? Seriously? And then, you know, you could just kind of poke him every once in a while so it looks like he's actually moving.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
brilliant, Paul.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know all the ways to exploit inflatable sex dolls.
Absolutely. But you have a convertible, so it wouldn't work.
I do have a convertible, yeah.
That thing
catches the wind.
Down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There were a friend of mine who were a gay couple who lived in San Francisco, and they had a big porch on the front of their house. And when Christmas time came, they filled the front porch with inflatable male sex dolls and put them in choir robes with hymnals like they were singing. There were accidents at the bottom of their street because the cars would slam on the brakes to take pictures of what looked like a choir of men singing. But anyway, we have 7 minutes left, and we want to ask these two ladies about what we always
baptize
ask
you ladies
about at the end of our show, which is to share a tale of woe, a mistake, a problem, a disaster
Ruby
that happened
is
during performance.
Right now.
And Ruby, if you have something, could we start with you?
Yes. The one that came to mind, I'm just going to go ahead and use that one. I can't remember now. I was on the Grease tour. I was the Sandy understudy. And our Sandy, I think she hurt herself the night before. I had to go on during intermission. That was fine. Then the next day, as I was getting into sexy Sandy at the end of the show, it's maybe a one-minute change from, you know, demure to sexy, and it was a full-on change: wig, makeup, earrings, shoes, you know, the whole thing. And there was this bodysuit that you get into, and it zips from the very bottom of your butt all the way up to the top. And they were zipping me into it, and the zipper split and broke, so my whole butt was out. And I was like, well, what are we going to do? And they're like, oh, well, I don't think we have time to zip it up. We don't have time to stitch it. Oh, we don't have a backup. And, you know, I'm back there like, oh, my gosh, it's the second time I've gone on for Sandy. What am I supposed to do? And they were telling me, you're just going to have to go out there. You're just going to have to do it. The stage manager was like, I can't go. I can't go. My meanwhile, I hear the actors on stage starting to ad-lib and fill some time. And, hey, Danny, you want to get a cheeseburger?
Oh, no.
Like, they weren't prepared. And I was just so flustered. I think I ended up tying my leather jacket around my waist and going out there. You know, it was just not sexy. It's like, tell me about it, stud. Like, this is awful. And meanwhile, just trying to strut around without mooning everyone. Oh, my
and
gosh.
When you came out with the jacket around your waist, did anybody react to that? Or
yes.
Your
oh, yeah. Well, it was a young cast. We were all, you know,
howling. They knew, yeah. They knew something
we
was up or something was out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, but luckily, people were good about helping me camouflage the gaping hole in the back of my costume.
I tell you right now, though, I would imagine that there would never not be a backup for
yeah.
that costume.
Oh,
from
yeah.
That
they
point
for
on.
Sure had one.
Yeah.
After
at least
that.
From that costumer. Yeah, it happens more frequently than we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen,
what do you have?
So I was, yes, we're all going to be very impressed now. I was Junior Asparagus on the national tour of VeggieTales Live.
Oh.
And if you've ever seen VeggieTales, they're all, the cartoons look very bouncy and inflatable. So when they designed our costumes, we were inflatable vegetables, basically,
mm-hmm.
that had... I know, you are dying laughing at me right now.
I can be, go ahead.
Yeah, well,
no,
you know what? We've all had to do things.
Oh,
so.
Well, I'm not. Why I'm laughing is because I so have you beat, but go ahead. Go ahead.
So, and I'm 5 feet tall, so I've done a lot of, like, costumey work mm-hmm. because I'm short and it paid well.
And
so
you fit into things.
I
yes.
fit into things. Yes. So we were on stage, and the guy playing Larry the Cucumber, which was the tallest of all the costumes, his costume started to deflate on stage, and it was melting around him.
Yeah.
And I could we played the show to soundtrack, but I could hear him inside his costume going, "Oh God, help me!" And he couldn't move because it was all melted around his feet. And all of us are trying to go on, and we're just dying
yes.
because he was a pile of cucumber mush on the stage.
Because people don't realize those costumes, they're inflated out away from you.
Away from
yeah,
you.
Yeah, people
you're
think that they're solid
no.
and that they're big foam things, but they're just, they're little air pumps and
yes.
they inflate around you.
Yeah.
And
I mean, my costume alone cost like $50,000. I mean, these were no
oh.
joke.
Oh, no,
these
no,
were
no.
big.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, this was a big, big tour.
So let me ask you something.
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, if you're playing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle
yes.
and the costume's starts to deflate. That's one thing. But when you're playing a cucumber and the costume starts to deflate, is the look of that reminiscent of anything else? Let me just phrase it that way.
Nothing I can talk about
Nothing
on the radio.
You can talk about. Okay.
It was so, I mean, one eye was like down here and it was amazing.
The cucumber was designed by Picasso. We have both eyes on one side of the cucumber. Right?
Yes.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Holy macro.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so funny.
What I'm saying yeah. that I have you beat is because you might have been an asparagus, but until you've played a worm coming up out of an apple for an insecticide industrial, you really
oh,
don't
yeah.
know what working to pay the bills
no.
is.
Oh, my gosh.
Because at least you were on stage. This was for a bunch of insecticide salesmen who just as I
yeah.
was, I was the worm. Yeah.
You know,
or
yep.
in my case, an ass incident, like Ruby's.
Yes.
Yes. When I was on stage, in Bye Bye Birdie.
Yes.
In the round, 3,000 people.
Oh, no.
Don't ever forget to underdress, because the changeover from New York to Sweet Apple, Ohio, and I forgot to underdress, and the dressers are taking my clothes off in a strobe light. All of us, all the kids, right? And I was in a nice red sweater, a little white shirt, and I thought, wow, it's cold in here. And I looked down, and I was standing there in my dance belt, because I forgot to put my pants on.
Oh, yeah.
Bye, bulging.
1,500 people.
Sweet apples were showing.
1,500 people got their money's worth.
Oh,
maybe
my
more.
Goodness.
Did you heard Bye Bye Bulgy, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I
okay,
love that
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that incredibly bad joke was not wasted.
What was that?
I said Bye Bye Bulgy. Oh, wow.
I need to get out more.
Yes.
What a joy it was having both of you here. Let's throw that information out here. The shows are We Will Rock You. That's Ruby Lewis's show, and that is wewillrockyou.com, and that starts in October for a national tour. And the show... Steel Magnolias that Kristen is doing is at the Little Fish Theater in San Pedro, and that website, littlefishtheatre.org. What a great amount of fun this was.
And at the Pantages Theater, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, don't miss it. It is playing through the 16th of June, and our friends out there at the Pasadena Playhouse, the world premiere of Sleepless in Seattle. Yes, and we will find out very quickly who our ticket winners are and announce it next week. Ladies, a great time. Hope you had as much fun as we did.
So much. Sure, thank you. Okay. Thanks again.
All right. Michael, see you next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.